So we've come a long way, haven't we, in the way of flight? We started out this way, excited that we could get those wings and wheels off the ground. And now, boy, we fly all the time, don't we? We've even gone to the moon. And we have a space station. I bet that seems unbelievable to many sitting here and many from several decades ago that we could have a space station. Wow, hanging out in space. And I think that we have several now. I think that the first one is done, like they had to put it to rest. So we have come a long way. So what other heights are you willing to dare? This may not mean literally flying, but new things or new boundaries. I'm wondering, what is next for you and I? Well, I'd like to look at our text today. Let's look at the group of friends who were daring new heights in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We can find this text. We can find the text in which Jesus heals the paralytic. So let's set the scene. First, the house is cramped. Have you ever been to an event in a house, like maybe the gathering after a funeral or when a party is going on, and the house is so packed that you can't even move to see the guest of honor? That's how packed this place was. You couldn't move around. And so put yourself in that cramped house. Well, why was it so cramped? Well, that's because right before this, Jesus had healed a leper. And he told the leper, okay, now go and don't tell anybody except for the priest, because I want the priest to know I did this, but don't tell anybody else. Well, what did he do? What did the leper do? He told everybody. And so everybody showed up to this house where they knew Jesus was going to be. And so Jesus sat down or stood up, I don't know which, it doesn't say, and started to teach of the good news. Started to talk about this wonderful God we have. And then there were four men who decided, you know what, we are going to bring our friend who is paralyzed to this house where Jesus is. You know, he healed the leper. I bet he can heal our friend. And so they went to this crowded house. And this crowded house was so full, they couldn't get to the front. They couldn't even get in. And they're carrying a man on a mat. And they're trying to get in. Has anyone ever tried to get through a crowd? Maybe with a stroller or a wheelchair? It's impossible, right? And so they're trying to get through, four men and a guy on a mat, and they can't do it because it is so crowded in there. And so they say, you know what? We're going to do something different. We're going to try another route. And so they climb up on top of the house on the roof, and they say, and they go through the roof. I'm glad you're all awake. And there's a hole in the roof. Can you imagine being in that house, in that crowd? There's nowhere to go. You hear that sound, and you see a hole in the roof? Right. Oh, dear. How do I get out of here? What's going on right now? Wow. I'm going to use sound effects more often. That was great. Oh, gosh. And then, from that light, that hole in the roof, they see a man being lowered on a mat right in front of Jesus. What do you think is going on in their heads? Oh my goodness, I don't even know what I'd be thinking, because I'd be like, wait a minute, that just happened, the hole in the ceiling, and now this is happening. What is going on right now? Just unbelievable to think about. So he gets lowered down, and then Jesus says, when he sees him, well, first of all, what friends does this guy have? Wow, right? These friends are pretty great. They're quite faithful, that they believe that because Jesus healed the leper, Jesus can heal their friend, and they are doing anything to get their friend in to see Jesus. So then Jesus says, I forgive you. You are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now, in this time, this is something that is believed only God can do. I can almost hear the crowd suck the air out of the place. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And the group goes, what? How could he do that? He's just a man. How can he do that? And then to think about the scribes that are there. Those scribes, they must be really upset. So much so that Jesus feels it. You know, sometimes when it's so tense in the room, you can feel and hear what people are thinking. Maybe they were whispering it. Maybe they were thinking it. But it is so tense that Jesus knows what they're thinking. And so he calls them out on it. And I can't believe it, because in the crowd, once again, the crowd wants the scribes to be pleased. They don't want to mess up with the scribes, because the scribes might do something nice for them another time. So, Jesus calls them out on it. So during this time, people would actually have to go to the temple to see the scribes for healing and forgiveness, which would have cost money, maybe a piece of their land. It might have required them to give up some of their livestock. And then the scribes would have said, or might have said, your sins are forgiven. This obviously was a corrupt system. It kept the poor poor, because for them to feel healed or forgiven, they had to go to the scribes and do this over and over. Religious leaders benefited from this, and the political leaders benefited from this, and Jesus was bucking the system. And I bet the crowd sure felt that tension in the room. And so Jesus knew what the scribes were thinking, and he called them out on it. And so he asked them this. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to stand up, take your mat, and walk out of here? What do you think the crowd is thinking after this? He's standing up to the scribes. They're probably like, what is going to happen now? Again, they're probably thinking, how do I get out of here fast? So, the man from the mat, you can see, he couldn't even walk to get in. He took up his mat. He picked it up. And he walked out. And can you imagine that crowded room, and all of a sudden, he's able to walk out? It's like the people were this Red Sea, and the people parted so he could walk right out of there, right? With all that crowded space. And he's able to just walk right out. And I'm imagining the scribes are furious with this question. What is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk out of here? The crowds were amazed. Well, what does amazed look like in a crowd? At an SU game, what does it sound like? Amazed is like cheering, right? Sometimes it's, whoa! And sometimes it's just plain silence. And I don't know which happened, because the text says they were amazed.
So I'd like to just take a note. The crowds were amazed. The man was healed and walked away. And it doesn't say anything about whether these people, any of them, became disciples or Jesus followers. They were amazed and they were healed. Just a note, maybe another sermon another day. So I ask you, in this scripture, who is emerging? Well, could be the friends of the paralytic, right? They were literally daring new heights to climb on that roof. They were daring new heights, having this unstoppable faith that Jesus would truly heal their friend. Or was it the paralytic? He was forgiven by Jesus and God. Grace abounds. He is able to start new life as a walking man. Or is it Jesus who is emerging? He not only declared the power to forgive through God, but challenged the religious powers and political powers of the day. This is the start or foreshadowing of his life and of his death. The truth is, none of them would ever be the same. Just like the butterfly, when we leave the cocoon or the tomb, that thing that holds us back, we are free to fly. We are free to be whatever or whoever we are meant to be. Remembering what was, all that we learned from it, and feeling assured we are not ever, ever alone. We have God and community with us. Because of what was, we are equipped to fly, to go beyond boundaries. If we can't get in, we can go through the roof. When the system is corrupt, we can say it is corrupt. We can live in the faith that Jesus will be with us in our emerging. And so I ask you, where will we dare to fly? Amen.